The Cognitive Theoretic Model of the Universe, A New Kind of Reality Theory. Christopher Michael Langan. Contents. Introduction. On Theories, Models, and False Dichotomies. Determinacy, Indeterminacy, and the Third Option. The Future of Reality Theory According to John Wheeler. Some Additional Principles. Some Background. Introduction to SCSPL. SCSPL as the Self-Excited Circuit. The CTMU and Intelligent Design. Abstract. Inasmuch as science is observational or perceptual in nature, the goal of providing a scientific model and mechanism for the evolution of complex systems ultimately requires a supporting theory of reality, of which perception itself is the model, or theory to universe mapping. Where information is the abstract currency of perception, such a theory must incorporate the theory of information while extending the information concept to incorporate reflexive self-processing in order to achieve an intrinsic, self-contained description of reality. This extension is associated with a limiting formulation of model theory, identifying mental and physical reality, resulting in a reflexively self-generating, self-modeling theory of reality, identical to its universe on the syntactic level. By the nature of its derivation, this theory, the Cognitive Theoretic Model of the Universe, or CTMU, can be regarded as a supertautological reality theoretic extension of logic. Uniting the theory of reality with an advanced form of computational language theory, the CTMU describes reality as a self-configuring, self-processing language, or SCSPL, a reflexive intrinsic language characterized not only by self-reference and recursive self-definition, but full self-configuration and self-execution, reflexive read-write functionality. SCSPL reality embodies a dual-aspect monism consisting of infocognition, self-transducing information residing in self-recognizing SCSPL elements called syntactic operators. The CTMU identifies itself with the structure of these operators and thus with the distributive syntax of its self-modeling SCSPL universe, including the reflexive grammar by which the universe refines itself from unbound telesis or UBT, a primordial realm of infocognitive potential free of informational constraint. Under the guidance of a limiting, intrinsic form of anthropic principle called the telic principle, SCSPL evolves by telic recursion, jointly configuring syntax and state while maximizing a generalized self-selection parameter and adjusting on the fly to freely changing internal conditions. SCSPL relates space, time, and object by means of conspansive duality and conspansion, an SCSPL grammatical process featuring an alternation between dual phases of existence associated with design and actualization and related to the familiar wave-particle duality of quantum mechanics. By distributing the design phase of reality over the actualization phase, conspansive spacetime also provides a distributed mechanism for intelligent design, adjoining to the restrictive principle of natural selection, a basic means of generating information and complexity. Addressing physical evolution on not only the biological but cosmic level, the CTMU addresses the most evident deficiencies and paradoxes associated with conventional discrete and continuum models of reality, including temporal directionality and accelerating cosmic expansion, while preserving virtually all of the major benefits of current scientific and mathematical paradigms. Introduction. Among the most exciting recent developments in science are complexity theory, the theory of self-organizing systems, and the modern incarnation of intelligent design theory, which investigates the deep relationship between self-organization and evolutionary biology in a scientific context not preemptively closed to teleological causation. Bucking the traditional physical reductionism of the hard sciences, complexity theory has given rise to a new trend, informational reductionism, which holds that the basis of reality is not matter and energy, but information. Unfortunately, this new form of reductionism is as problematic as the old one. As mathematician David Berlinsky writes regarding the material and informational aspects of DNA, "We quite know what DNA is. It is a macromolecule and so a material object. We quite know what it achieves, apparently everything. Are the two sides of this equation in balance?" More generally, Berlinsky observes that since the information embodied in a string of DNA or protein cannot affect the material dynamic of reality without being read by a material transducer, information is meaningless without matter. The relationship between physical and informational reductionism is a telling one, for it directly mirrors Cartesian mind-matter dualism, the source of several centuries of philosophical and scientific controversy regarding the nature of deep reality. As long as matter and information remain separate, with specialists treating one as primary while tacitly relegating the other to secondary status, dualism remains in effect. To this extent, history is merely repeating itself. Where mind and matter once vied with each other for primary status, concrete matter now vies with abstract information, abstractly representing matter and its extended relationships. But while the formal abstractness and concrete descriptiveness of information seem to make it a worthy compromise between mind and matter, Berlinski's comment demonstrates its inadequacy as a conceptual substitute. What is now required is thus what has been required all along, a conceptual framework in which the relationship between mind and matter, cognition and information, is made explicit. This framework must not only permit the completion of the gradual ongoing dissolution of the Cartesian mind-matter divider, but the construction of a footworthy logical bridge across the resulting explanatory gap. Mathematically, the theoretical framework of intelligent design consists of certain definitive principles governing the application of complexity and probability to the analysis of two key attributes of evolutionary phenomena, irreducible complexity and specified complexity. On one hand, because the mathematics of probability must be causally interpreted to be scientifically meaningful, and because probabilities are therefore expressly relativized to specific causal scenarios, it is difficult to assign definite probabilities to evolutionary states in any model not supporting the detailed reconstruction and analysis of specific causal pathways. On the other hand, positing the absolute improbability of an evolutionary state ultimately entails the specification of an absolute, intrinsic global model with respect to which absolute probabilistic deviations can be determined. A little reflection suffices to inform us of some of its properties. It must be rationally derivable from a priori principles and essentially tautological in nature. It must on some level identify matter and information, and it must eliminate the explanatory gap between the mental and physical aspects of reality. Furthermore, in keeping with the name of that to be modeled, it must meaningfully incorporate the intelligence and design concepts, describing the universe as an intelligently self-designed, self-organizing system. How is this to be done? In a word, with language. This does not mean merely that language should be used as a tool to analyze reality, for this has already been done countless times with varying degrees of success. Nor does it mean that reality should be regarded as a machine language running in some kind of vast computer. It means using language as a mathematical paradigm unto itself. Of all mathematical structures, language is the most general, powerful, and necessary. Not only is every formal or working theory of science and mathematics by definition a language, but science and mathematics in whole and in sum are languages. Everything that can be described or conceived, including every structure or process or law, is isomorphic to a description or definition and therefore qualifies as a language, and every sentient creature constantly affirms the linguistic structure of nature by exploiting syntactic isomorphism to perceive, conceptualize, and refer to it. Even cognition and perception are languages based on what Kant might have called phenomenal syntax. With logic and mathematics counted among its most fundamental syntactic ingredients, language defines the very structure of information. This is more than an empirical truth. It is a rational and scientific necessity. Of particular interest to natural scientists is the fact that the laws of nature are a language. To some extent, nature is regular. The basic patterns or general aspects of structure in terms of which it is apprehended, whether or not they have been categorically identified, are its laws. The existence of these laws is given by the stability of perception. Because these repetitive patterns or universal laws simultaneously describe multiple instances or states of nature, they can be regarded as distributed instructions from which self-instantiations of nature cannot deviate. Thus, they form a control language through which nature regulates its self-instantiations. This control language is not of the usual kind, for it is somehow built into the very fabric of reality and seems to override the known limitations of formal systems. Moreover, it is profoundly reflexive and self-contained with respect to configuration, execution, and read-write operations. Only the few and the daring have been willing to consider how this might work, to ask where in reality the laws might reside, how they might be expressed and implemented, why and how they came to be, and how their consistency and universality are maintained. Although these questions are clearly of great scientific interest, science alone is logically inadequate to answer them. A new explanatory framework is required. This paper describes what the author considers to be the most promising framework in the simplest and most direct terms possible. On a note of forbearance, there has always been comfort in the belief that the standard hybrid empirical-mathematical methods of physics and cosmology will ultimately suffice to reveal the true heart of nature. However, there have been numerous signals that it may be time to try a new approach. With true believers undaunted by the mathematically factual, explanatory limitations of the old methods, we must, of course, empathize. It is hard to question one's prior investments when one has already invested all the faith that one has. But science and philosophy do not progress by regarding their past investments as ends in themselves. The object is always to preserve that which is valuable in the old methods, while adjoining new methods that refine their meaning and extend their horizons. The new approach that we will be exploring in this paper, which might be colorfully rendered as reality theory is wedded to language theory and they beget a synthesis, has the advantage that it leaves the current picture of reality virtually intact. It merely creates a logical mirror image of the current picture, its conspansive dual, merges the symmetric halves of the resulting picture, and attempts to extract meaningful implications. Science as we now know it is thereby changed, but little in return for what may, if fate smiles upon us, turn out to be vast gains in depth, significance, and explanatory power. And on that note, I thank you for your kind attention and wish you a fruitful journey. On theories, models, and false dichotomies. It has almost become embarrassing to point out that science is in a state of crisis, not because it is untrue, but because it has become a cliché too often accompanied by little or no remedial insight. For all of the magnificent achievements of science, its grander ambitions long ago succeeded in taxing its traditional models and organizational principles beyond their explanatory limits. In the search for ever deeper and broader explanations, science has reached the point at which it can no longer deny the existence of intractable conceptual difficulties devolving to the explanatory inadequacies of its fundamental conceptual models of reality. This has spawned a new discipline known as reality theory, the study of the nature of reality in its broadest sense. The overall goal of reality theory is to provide new models and new paradigms in terms of which reality can be understood, and the consistency of science restored as it deepens and expands in scope. Mainstream reality theory counts among its hotter foci the interpretation of quantum theory and its reconciliation with classical physics, the study of subjective consciousness and its relationship to objective material reality, the reconciliation of science and mathematics, complexity theory, cosmology, and related branches of science, mathematics, philosophy, and theology. But in an integrated sense, it is currently in an exploratory mode, being occupied with the search for a general conceptual framework in which to develop a more specific theory and model of reality capable of resolving the paradoxes and conceptual inconsistencies plaguing its various fields of interest, where a model is technically defined as a valid interpretation of a theory in its universe of reference. Because of the universal scope of reality theory, it is subject to unique, if seldom recognized, demands. For example, since it is by definition a universal theory of everything that is real, it must by definition contain its rules of real-world interpretation. That is, reality theory must contain its own model and affect its own self-interpretive mapping thereto, and it must conform to the implications of this requirement. This self-modeling capacity is a primary criterion of the required framework. The ranks of reality theorists include researchers from almost every scientific discipline. As the physical sciences have become more invested in a quantum mechanical view of reality, and as science in general has become more enamored of and dependent on computer simulation as an experimental tool, the traditional continuum model of classical physics has gradually lost ground to a new class of models to which the concepts of information and computation are essential. called discrete models. They depict reality in terms of bits, quanta, quantum events, computational operations, and other discrete, recursively related units. Whereas continuum models are based on the notion of a continuum, a unified extensible whole with one or more distance parameters that can be infinitely subdivided in such a way that any two distinct points are separated by an infinite number of intermediate points, discrete models are distinguished by realistic acknowledgement of the fact that it is impossible to describe or define a change or separation in any way that does not involve a sudden finite jump in some parameter. Unfortunately, the advantages of discrete models, which are receiving increasingly serious consideration from the scientific and philosophical communities, are outweighed by certain basic deficiencies. Not only do they exhibit scaling and non-locality problems associated with their display hardware, but they are inadequate by themselves to generate the conceptual infrastructure required to explain the medium, device, or array in which they evolve, or their initial states and state transition programming. Moreover, they remain anchored in materialism, objectivism, and Cartesian dualism, each of which has proven obstructive to the development of a comprehensive explanation of reality. Materialism arbitrarily excludes the possibility that reality has a meaningful non-material aspect. Objectivism arbitrarily excludes the possibility that reality has a meaningful subjective aspect. And although Cartesian dualism technically excludes neither, it arbitrarily denies that the mental and material, or subjective and objective, sides of reality share common substance. 5. One might almost get the impression that the only two available choices are the classical model, to which quantum theory has been fastened with approximately the same degree of cogency as antlers on a jackrabbit, and the newer discrete models, which purport to be more in line with quantum theory, but fall by the wayside en route to the new kind of quantum cosmology they portentously seem to promise. For such claims exhibit an unmistakable irony. Classical reality is precisely that on which information and computation are defined. Like classical reality itself, a well-defined entity unable to account for its own genesis, information and computation are well-defined and non-self-generative aspects of reality as it is observationally presented to us at an advanced stage of its existence. So they invite the same questions as does classical reality. How and by what were they originally defined and generated? Without an answer to this question, little can be gained by replacing one kind of reality with the other. Some may have felt, as they watched the history of big theories and new paradigms unfold over the last few years, as though they were being forced to watch the same show or read the same novel, 1,000 times in tedious succession, with no more than an occasional minor revision of plot or character. However, there is a third alternative which has thus far remained in the background. It provides exactly what is required in light of any thesis and antithesis, synthesis. This synthesis yields a new class of model S6 preserving the best features of both thesis and antithesis, continuum and quantum, uniting them through general and preferably self-evident principles. This paper presents this new class through a single example, the cognitive theoretic model of the universe, CTMU. Determinacy, indeterminacy, and the third option. Like the mathematics, science, and philosophy whence they issue, classical continuum and modern discrete models of reality generally allow for exactly two modes of determinacy, external causality and acausality or randomness. Given an object, event, set, or process, it is usually assumed to have come about in one or both of just two ways. One, its existence owes to something prior and external to it. Two, it is uncaused and sprang forth spontaneously and pointlessly in a something from nothing, rabbit out of the hat sort of way, as if by magic. A similar assumption is made with regard to its behavior. Either it is controlled by laws that are invariant with respect to it, and therefore existentially external to it, even though they control it through its intrinsic structure and properties, or it is behaving in an utterly aleatory and uncontrolled fashion. This has given rise to a dichotomy, determinacy versus randomness, or a total absence of causation versus causation by laws that are ultimately independent of the determined entity. Determinacy and indeterminacy, at first glance, there seems to be no middle ground. Events are either causally connected or they are not, and if they are not,